Guys, as we pick up this morning in part two of Practical Atheist, I want to kind of back up a little bit and give you guys some context, some where we were last week if you guys weren't here. And if you weren't with us, Craig Rochelle, the lead pastor of LifeChurch.tv out of Oklahoma City, he explained to us that there were 94% of Americans who say that there is some sort of supernatural being that they call God. 94%. And out of that 94%, there are within that group some people that attribute the deity or the godship to Jesus of Nazareth. Those people are called Christians. You guys familiar? Yeah, yeah. And out of that group, he described how there are many of us in the room, many of us in our country that we believe in Jesus, and yet we live lives as if he doesn't exist. We believe in God, but we live lives as if he doesn't exist. And he came up with a term that is the term, is the title of our series, that when you believe in God and yet you live like he doesn't exist, you are a practical atheist. And when I was sitting here last week, hearing him say that to me, whom has had a relationship with Jesus since I was 13 years old, it kind of stung a little bit. Did it not sting with you guys? And what we want to understand by what Craig mentioned last week is that in our lives, there are things that we pick and choose sometimes within the Christian faith. We want all the good stuff, but we don't want to have to hand over all of our life to God. We want all the perks. We want the heaven. We want the joy. We want all the hope and the laughter and the love and the happiness. But we don't have to deal with the sacrifice and the discipline and the really following after God. Craig mentioned specifically that for many of us, we say we believe in God, and yet we don't fear him. We don't have this reverent awe of God in our lives. That when people look at us, they don't see us as people that are running more toward God and away from our stuff, away from what we want in our lives. And it's sending a mixed signal that practically, right, we're living as atheists. Well, guys, this week, what I want to do, and over the next few weeks, we're going to be going over and going through some things that are saying to our world, you Christians are practically atheists. And specifically today, what I want to look at is an area of our life that's very personal for us. I mean, it's almost uncomfortable to even talk about because we all battle with it. It's this thing that we don't think that God can really handle for us. Like we know, like intellectually, yeah, he can handle this one thing. That is our future. But the way we manifest that trust is completely the opposite of what God would have us do. Because instead of us running to God for our problems, running to God with our futures, running to God with our things of what's going to happen next, we worry about them. Worry. That thing inside you that kind of just drives you nuts at night. That one thing that you have on your mind right now, when I said the word worry, you began to think about that one thing that you worry about. And we're going to learn today that there's something about worry that's dangerous. There's something about worry that's not exactly it. There's something about worry that's going to cause you guys, and me especially, to have to kind of rethink this whole worry thing as it relates to who I am as a follower of Jesus. Now, for those that are in the room that aren't followers of Jesus, you guys can just watch as I describe what it actually is supposed to look like in relation to worry. And for those of you in the room who are followers of Jesus, this message is going to get a little icky. Can you show me your icky faces? Ugh. But the reality is, guys, for many of us, we worry about things. And for many of us, we really struggle with it. But I know that there are some parts of our life that we're like, man, I just wish I didn't have to worry about those things. So what we're going to look at today are three questions. First one is, why do we worry? The second one is, what does it say about us when we worry? And the third one is, how do we fix it? How do we stop worrying? Because when I was preparing for this message, guys, I was asking myself these questions as I was going through this stuff. Why do I worry? What does it say to other people about me when I worry? And how in the world can we overcome this, or can I overcome this worry? Well, guys, as you're sitting there, right, you're thinking about what worry is and what you worry about. And for me, the number one reason why I worry is because I have very important things in my life. I've got family. I've got friends. I've got a career. I've got my body. I've got the health issues that could be coming up. And as a result of those things, I worry about them. Why? Because they're important. They matter to me and I care about them. And for many of us, we worry because they're important things. But what happens a lot of times is we feel like worry and care are synonymous. That when someone tells you don't worry, they're telling you don't care. But the reality is, guys, that's not the case, is it? And when you look through the scriptures, you'll see a lot of places where God tells us to care. He wants us to look after the poor. He wants us to help the sick. He wants us to take care of our families. He wants us to honor God with our bodies. He wants us to put a lot of preparation and planning and care into our lives. But he also says what throughout the scriptures? Don't worry, especially about tomorrow. And yet we find ourselves like, okay, I don't get that. I don't understand that. You want me to care about things, but you're telling me not to worry. You want me to put, you know, all these things of importance up, but you don't want me to worry about those things. How can that be? Well, guys, if anybody in the room is like me who have worried, you know that the effects of worry aren't good. They're actually negative. They actually strip away things from you. And then you realize that worry is one of those things that's kind of painful. That it's kind of unnecessary. It's one of those things where you just feel kind of like withdrawn and dark. To give you an example, when I was in high school, I was a sophomore at one point, obviously. Sorry. And within my years, I had this dream about a girl. And by dream, I mean I had this idea that I wanted to date this specific girl whom I'd known for about a year and a half. And she was beautiful. I'll tell you again, she was beautiful. She was friendly. She was smart. She was funny. Our personalities just like clicked and it was amazing. Our relationship was awesome. But I was kind of in the friend zone. You guys familiar with the friend zone? Like we were best friends. Like it was uncomfortable for me to be in the friend zone, I'll be honest with you. And what made it even weirder was the fact that she was dating someone else during the time where I really wanted to date her. But within my wanting to date her, I thought I knew exactly what I wanted. I thought I knew what she wanted. So I began to put all my energy into trying to make that relationship that wasn't work. And guys, I worried about it. I worried about it like crazy. I was up nights. I was pacing back and forth in my room. I was like, how can I get her to like me? What can I do? What can I say? I know she's dating somebody else. I know that's kind of weird. It's a little bit of a roadblock in our dating, you know, track, but we can get over that. You know, I need to figure that out somehow, some way. And I would just fret over it and freak out over it. I'd have conversations with my parents about it. It got to the point where I worried about what was going to happen next so bad that it began to affect like me physically. Like I was losing sleep over the prospect of dating this girl. I was losing weight over the prospect of dating this girl. I was getting uncomfortable in my own skin. My friends were like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, guys, I've got to be with her, man. It's the only thing I ever think about. It's the only thing I care about. I mean, I'm pacing right now discussing this stuff, right? But that's where I was, man. And it was so uncomfortable. And it was so not of God. And it was so just worrisome that I became a world-class worrier at 15 years old. It got to the point where I thought I was having like ulcer-like symptoms. Like I was like having to take like heartburn medication because every time I ate anything of value, it would just burn in my chest. I mean, I thought I was turning like 75 at 15 because of all the worrying I was doing. It was stripping away my time. It was stripping away my energy. And guys, it was stripping away my life. And I'm pretty sure you guys didn't have a similar situation like I did. But you guys have had that job problem, right? You guys have had that health scare. You guys have stayed up late at night worrying about your kids. You guys have stayed up late at night worrying about that test the next day. Worrying about getting into college. Worrying about what's next for me. What is my future plan going to be like? Who am I going to marry? And guys, the reality is that worry is one of those things that when it gets on us, it begins to destroy us. And guys, you understand that for those in the room who say they follow Jesus, that when you worry, you're telling the world something that's just not accurate of God. That when you worry, you communicate to the world that, hey, God cannot handle the very smallest next thing in my life. That God's not strong enough to take care of the future for me. That God's nature is not all loving. That he doesn't really, really care about me, because if he did, then I wouldn't worry about these things. That Jesus, who bought us, who saved us from our past, who is currently working to save us in our present and has a future hope for us, that future hope isn't very bright, is what we're communicating to those around us when we worry. But do you guys ever think about it like that? Do you guys ever think, when I worry, I'm projecting an image to other people about my Heavenly Father? Because I'll be honest with you guys, I wasn't thinking that at 15. And I don't think that when I worry today. But the reality is, this is exactly what's going down. That when we worry, we're painting a picture, we're sculpting a model of what God isn't like to other people. And we're the followers of God. But what's amazing, guys, is that Jesus has something to say about worry. Jesus has got something to explain to us about worry. And he sets it up in the context of relationships. And what's interesting about the Bible is that you find a lot of talk about relationships and what goes into a relationship and the dynamics of them. And we're going to look at a passage that, for anybody in the room that's really wanted to get out of the worry race, that doesn't want to be a world-class worrier like I was, you've probably read this passage. You probably studied. You probably sent it over to a friend and said, listen, you got to see this. And yet here we are most of the time, right? Worrying about tomorrow, about our health, about our careers, about where our kids are going to go to school, about everything. So Jesus explains this to us. And if we get this today, guys, I'm telling you, everything can be different. If we understand what Jesus is saying right here in your seats right now, it can change everything as it relates to your relationship with your Heavenly Father and as it relates to your relationship with everybody else that's in your circle. So guys, if you have a Bible, we'll be in Matthew 6 today. And we're going to start in verse 24. And what we're going to look at in verse 24 is how Jesus sets up two relationships. And he creates a dilemma within the relationship that we have to make a choice about. So this is what he says. 6:24, he says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." In other translations, it says stuff. And what Jesus is trying to explain to us, guys, is that you have a choice to make. Either you're going to enter into a relationship, a trusting relationship with your Heavenly Father, or you're going to enter into a relationship in which you put your trust in your stuff, your money, your things. And what we have to do, Jesus says, is decide between the two. And he uses this very harsh language, right? He says, you're going to be devoted to one, but you're going to despise the other. You're going to love the one, and you're going to hate the other. You can't serve both God and money, or God and your stuff. You have to choose. It's a dilemma. But just like here in the room, his audience, when I say that, we're automatically thinking, I'm choosing God. Yeah, it's God. God's the one. God's the God. Not my stuff. My stuff's not my God. That's ludicrous. God's my God. And then he creates a test. And in the test, he begins to break down what it looks like to be a follower of God, to be a true worshiper of God. But this is where, like I said, this is where it gets kind of icky. Because Jesus breaks down something that for us in the room, we struggle with and we claim to be followers of Jesus. Verse 25, it says, "Therefore, as a result of the relationship you guys have with your Heavenly Father, I tell you, Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? What Jesus is trying to get them to see is that, guys, listen, you say you have this relationship with God, but do you worry about the most important things in your life? That's a tough one. Relationship with God? Yeah, got that. Okay. Worry about my stuff? Ooh, important stuff? Yes, I do that as well. Uh-oh. You see the dilemma? You see the problem? Jesus is already from the beginning saying, don't be anxious about your life. Don't worry about your life. And yet we sit here, right? And I sit here reading this and I'm like, got the sweaty forehead. Because I worry about tomorrow. And Jesus is like, hey, you don't have to worry about that. Is life not more than the stuff in your life? Is life not more important than what you collect or what you do? For those who have a relationship with their Heavenly Father. And then he goes on from there, because he could just stop right there, right? I mean, Jesus, the authority that he had as he's communicating to these people, he could have just said, guys, don't worry. All right, we'll talk to you later. He could have done it, but it mattered so much to him that he kept going. He kept talking to his audience. And understand, his audience is posted up on a mountainside, had been listening to him for hours, teaching about what the kingdom of God is like. And he's now breaking down what people within the kingdom, how they act and react to whatever it is. Why? Because the relationship is what matters most to those within the kingdom of God. Verse 26, he provides two comparisons starting here. He says, look at the birds of the air. You know, the birds. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Ask the question, are you not of more value than they? I mean, Jesus says, guys, look around. You don't see birds, you know, pacing back and forth and trying to figure out where the next worm's coming from and, you know, sitting in their nests all like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do with the weirdo fingers. I mean, they don't do that. Don't birds just do bird stuff? Don't they just fly around until they need to stop, and they stop and they grab something, or they do what they do? And that's what birds do. He's saying, guys, listen, those that follow God, those that have a true relationship with God, they act like they have a relationship with God. Not only that, he begins to compare. He says, listen, are you not more valuable than birds? Don't you guys remember back in Genesis when God broke this whole thing open? He created the universe. He set up creation the way he did. The last things to be created on earth were humans. Why? Because they were the pinnacle. They were the top. They were the best of the best, according to God. They were the ones that were able to relate to him. And his audience is like, yeah, I get that. And he's like, so why are you worrying about life, about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, when birds don't worry? They had to have been like, oh boy, this Jesus guy's laying it on pretty thick. I hope he stops. He doesn't stop. Verse 27, he keeps going. He says this. He says, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to a span of life? Now, guys, I'm not a mathematician. But by worrying, Jesus is saying, can you really add anything to your life? No. Not only that, he says that I think he's saying that, hey, listen, worry is a waste of time. You guys understand, right? When we run out of time, we run out of life. Like, when we run out of time on earth, we're done here. And Jesus is saying, listen, the clock has started. And worry doesn't add a single hour to your life. So why don't we just stop worrying? Because that's not what people who have a relationship with God, that's not what they do. But you would have wanted, right? If you're sitting there with him, as you're sitting there today, you're going to want him to just stop. Because we struggle so bad with this thing. Because we get caught up in the important things, because we still think that, right, when the Bible says, or when God's word says, don't worry, it's really saying don't care. But the reality is that's not true. The Bible's saying continue to care, continue to invest in important things, but you don't have to worry about them. You don't. He goes on, because he doesn't stop there. He says, guys, listen, why are you anxious about clothing? Or in our case, why are we anxious about getting braces on our kids' teeth? Or why are we anxious about what college we're going to get into? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven or into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You see, guys, a lot of times, right, and this is the way I think about this, a lot of times we have that one big thing that we worry about, that when we read this verse, this set of verses, we're like, all right, cool, yeah. Give that to God. Give that up to God. That's my most important one. I know that he would want me to give that up to him and not worry about it. Let him take care of the future, because he is God and I'm not. He's got that power and that control. I don't. Everything's going to be golden. But then we don't let go of those little small ones, those little things that we worry about. Those to us that are, they're so inconsequential that we like to hold on to those. And Jesus is like, uh-uh. You don't have to worry about anything. You can just let it go. And then he tacks on this little statement at the end. And it's so funny that he does this, because if I'm sitting there in the audience and these people have been, you know, worshipers of God, and they've been in a community that is known that the Hebrew people are the people of God. Like, he selected them. He drew them to be his people. And he says, oh, you of little faith? Ouch. It stings a little bit. It had to have stung back then, because it stings me today. Because when I worry, I'm projecting this image of a God that's just not that believable. I'm projecting an image of a God that just can't be trusted. But the reality is, guys, this is not true. This is not of the people of God. This is not what a follower of God does. This is what it means to be a practical atheist. You see, guys, worry is it's a faith issue. That the more you worry, the less you trust in God. Think about it. The more you worry, the more you want to control what happens next, even though you know you can't, the more you take the trust element away from your relationship with God. The more you worry, the less you really get to spend time with God, because you're worrying about things and you're not praying to God to take care of those things. Think about it. The time and the energy and the emotion is wasted because we worry. And Jesus is like, listen, if you say you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, then you don't have to worry about tomorrow. God takes care of the grass, for crying out loud. Now, this was written 2,000 years ago. And I'm 100% sure I saw grass on the way to church this morning. There wasn't any areas that weren't covered in grass in people's yards. So the grass is still here. So God kept his promise to keep the grass going. Why do I struggle so bad? Why do we struggle so bad? Why do you struggle so bad with letting him take care of your tomorrow? You see, Jesus then switches gears. He says something to these people that they knew, but it's like they didn't know. Like they understood it, but it's like they didn't quite get it. And he makes this transition in such the right moment that they really began to kind of feel like, I cannot believe he went there. And this is what he says. He kind of recaps everything in verse 31. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Guys, Jesus has just reduced the people of God who knew of God, who had spent time worshiping and sacrificing and reading and studying about God for the last 2,000 years. He had reduced them to the godless. He just said, listen, when you worry, when you sit and you just kind of get all just weird about tomorrow, that you're living as if God doesn't exist, because this is what the Gentiles do. He's saying, guys, you have the scriptures. They don't. He's saying, guys, you have this relationship with your Heavenly Father. They don't. He's saying, guys, you know the end result of life. You know in the end God wins, right? These people don't know that. And that's why they go bananas over life. That's why they're like, you know, freaking out. Just like, But the followers of God, the people that trust God, they don't have to operate in that mode at all. They can enter in problems. They can understand that there are going to be situations that aren't going to look good on the outset, but they can trust God knowing, hey, God has taken care of my past. God is rocking and rolling right now in my present. I don't know what's going to happen next, but God does. So I can just lean in and trust him with my tomorrow. But see, the thing is for us is that we have so many important things in our life that we worry about, so many important things in our life that we think about. And Jesus is like, listen, I want you guys to switch your focus for me. Switch your focus. Take your mind, your eyes off of your family, off of your career, off of your current job dilemma, off the promotion, off your health. Take it all off of that and do this one thing for me. Verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that God knows you need will be added to you. You see, Jesus wants us to switch our focus, folks. He wants us to go from a people that is so consumed with trying to figure out the next step of all the important things we have lined up in our life and just say, all right, God, it's all about you. My life is about you. If I don't understand what's going to happen next, it's okay. I believe and trust in you because you're a huge God. And I'm not going to reduce you to the size of my problems. I'm not going to reduce you to even the size of the important things that I have in my life. Because guys, listen, God is so much greater than any of the things we have in our life. And if we recognize that, then we understand the value of everything he's given us in our life. And when God stays huge to us, when God stays number one for us, all these other things in our life fall in their proper spot. Family gets the respect and the attention that it deserves. Your career gets the respect and attention that it deserves when you keep God first. Your bodies, your minds, your relationships with your neighbors, the choices that you need to make in the future. When you seek God first, all those things kind of are slowed down. You can process them. Wisdom becomes a big deal in who you are. But if the only thing that matters to you are the important things, then you're going to worry. And Jesus says you can't do both. Either you're going to worry about the things that God has provided for you, or you're going to run hard after God and want him to be the only thing that you're truly focused on. Because when we seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, how we can develop our relationship with him, how we can trust him with tomorrow, then all the important things fall into the proper place and we don't have to worry about them. See, guys, God wants you to care about the important things in your life. But he's saying you don't have to worry about them. God wants you to care about what matters most to you in your life, but he wants you to recognize that God has got to matter more than anything else. Your relationship with him, you've got to carve out some time. You've got to recognize who you really are if you are a follower of God. Because if you're a follower of God, then you can trust God with everything. If you're a follower of God, then worry can be something that just eventually just falls off of you. And when you begin to worry, then you know where that relationship has been going for a little bit, is going now. And let that then be a barometer to let you know, whoa, hold on. Worry's not it. Worry's dangerous. Worry strips away time, energy, and life from my life. But trusting in God with my tomorrow, that eliminates worry. That squashes it. It prevents it from coming back. And this is what the world needs to see from those who follow Jesus. This is how the world needs to understand what it means to be a follower of God. Because we don't want to misrepresent our Heavenly Father. But I'm telling you guys, when we worry, that's exactly what we're doing. So to kind of go back and tell you the second part of my little high school dating story, my sophomore year turned into my junior year. My junior year turned into my senior year. And over that time, I really spent a lot of time working on my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I began to realize that I don't have to go completely crazy over a girl. That I can just work on my relationship with Jesus and just be content that He has a plan for my dating life, for my future wife, and that I don't have to have all this weirdness going on inside of me. A couple years after high school, I had the opportunity to date this girl. Then a couple years after that, I get to ask her to marry me, and she said yes. Less than a year after that, we get married. And for the last 7 years, with our two little kids, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. And what I learned, guys, as I was preparing today, is that as I thought back up over that time, especially that one serious, like, dark period in my life, I realized, guys, I wasn't trusting in God for anything. I was trusting in worry. I had put my faith in the absence of what God was. And it was crushing me. But as I made some adjustments, as I recognized what the scriptures were teaching, as I knew that the only thing that ultimately matters to me is my relationship with my Heavenly Father, and that everything else will fall into place, it just worked out. Now, guys, imagine in your situation, the things you're worrying about. Imagine if you just took God at His word. Because God, throughout the scriptures, keeps telling us, you can trust me, you can trust me, you can trust me. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. What if we just took Him at His word? What if today we began to be like, all right, God, you're right, I can't handle my tomorrow. You're right, I can't control what happens next. But I know you're already there. Imagine what that would do to your home life. Imagine the lack of stress that would kind of permeate through your job situation right now. If you just trusted God with tomorrow, imagine your health, how you feel about yourself, what's going on with your body right now. If you just said, okay, God, I don't know why I have what I have. I don't know why my best friend has what she has. I don't know why my mom struggles with this. But God, I'm going to trust you with tomorrow. I'm going to let you have the glory in this. I'm going to act as though our relationship really matters to me. And I'm not going to worry. You see, guys, worry says that God doesn't love us very much. Worry says that God couldn't care less about our problems. But you know that's not the truth. You know that God loves you. You know that He has a plan for you. You know that He wants what's best for you. And what's best for you, according to Jesus, is for you to seek first God's kingdom, His righteousness. Really work on your relationship with Him. And as a result, worry will be an afterthought. Worry won't even creep into the picture because you will have such a trust, such a huge view of our huge God that you won't worry about anything. that the important things in life will slide into their proper place, and you won't confuse them with worry. But you'll be showing the world that, listen, I'm not, in this area, going to be a practical atheist anymore. I'm going to not worry anymore. I mean, guys, can that be us? Can that be you? Can that be the way we operate from now on? I ask that because this is what a follower of God does. This is something that I want to do. But we have to commit to the relationship. We have to commit to the consistency within it. And that has to be what we and how we operate our lives. God's huge, guys. God is huge. And when we trust him, we keep him that way. To you, to those around you, and to the world who doesn't know you.